If you've been a Christian for a while, there is something that you've realised, even if you don't know you have, and that is the importance of emphasis. What gets emphasised, particularly from the pulpit, is very significant. And perhaps it's even been a problem for you at various times. Perhaps it's caused confusion. What do I mean? Well, let me illustrate it this way. One Sunday, the preacher gets up and preaches a wonderful sermon about how God in Christ has done everything for us. It's all of grace, not by our works. The preacher exhorts us to focus on the gospel and rest in the finished work of Christ. And then the next week, the same preacher gets up and preaches a wonderful sermon about how we need to be committed to Christ, we need to serve the Lord, we need to be disciplined in our Christian life, we need to labour for the sake of God's kingdom. One week, the emphasis is on resting in God's grace. Jesus has done it all for us. And then the next week, the emphasis is on us and what we need to do for Jesus. So which is it? Is the Christian life about resting or working? Is it about what Christ has done or about what we do? In our text for study this evening, I think we find the answer to these kinds of questions. We find some clarity for our confusion. And it's not that one emphasis is correct and the other incorrect. Rather, it's that the two come together in the Christian life. We're not talking about justification this evening. We're not talking about being born again or adopted into God's family. We're talking about the course of our Christian life, our daily walk with God, our sanctification, and how these two aspects come together. Our text this evening, as we continue our study in the book of Colossians, is chapter 1, verse 29, and it marks a milestone in our series. It's the last verse in chapter 1, and when we're done tonight, we'll have covered nearly a third, 30% of the book. So we're making good progress, I think. Our text is verse 29, but I'd like to read once more from verse 21, and then we'll pray and commit our time to the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 21. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you, to fulfil the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Amen. Let's pray. Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come together in this very simple way and pray together and now study your word. Please help us to understand this text of Scripture. I pray that you would instruct us, you would encourage us, you would correct us if that's our need this evening. We do commit ourselves into your care, and we ask this only in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. I don't have an outline per se this evening. You'll see on the handout that I've just laid out the text bit by bit with some definitions and some cross-references, and that's how we're going to work through it. The verse begins with the word whereunto, verse 29. Whereunto. And this word refers back to what Paul has just said, and it looks forward to what he is about to say. As we saw in verse 28, Paul made it clear that his aim in his preaching ministry was to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He preached Christ by warning and by teaching so that he might one day present to Christ spiritually mature Christians. That was his goal. And in verse 29, he describes how he went about trying to achieve it. How did Paul carry out his ministry as an apostle, as a missionary, as a teacher, as one who cared deeply for God's people? Well, he goes on to say, whereunto I also labour. Paul laboured to present every man mature in Christ. His proclamation of the gospel by warning and teaching was labour. It was toil. The Greek word translated labour means to labour with wearisome effort, to work to the point of exhaustion. This is not 30 minutes of work and 30 minutes of rest, repeat 8 times and then go home for the day. This is not push the paper around the desk, have 2 coffee breaks, then a 2-hour lunch, push the paper around the desk a bit more and then knock off. No. This speaks of consistent, focused, protracted, energy-sapping effort. Paul was not lazy. He didn't slack off. He did his best. He tried hard. Paul said a similar thing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For therefore we both labour, same word, this exhausting toil, and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. Out of Paul's faith in God, out of his conviction that God is the Saviour of all men, came this willingness to work hard, even to suffer. In fact, Paul's own testimony was that he worked harder than the other apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I laboured more abundantly than they all. In other words, I worked harder than all of them. At this point, I think it's worth noting one other verse where Paul refers to this labour. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Paul says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honour, especially they who labour in the word and doctrine. It's interesting how Paul characterises the preaching and teaching of God's word. This is what he did. This was his ministry. This is what elders do. He calls it labour, kapaio, same word, they who labour in the word and doctrine. To preach and teach God's word, to instruct and counsel with God's word, to clearly communicate sound doctrine is labour. It requires focused, diligent, consistent effort. It's hard work. And believe me, it's draining. It saps your mental strength. Studying, taking great care to rightly divide the word and then teach it clearly. But more than that, it's emotionally and it's spiritually demanding, because it's about bringing God's message to God's people. The souls of men and women are involved. It's not academic. This kind of ministry touches people's feelings and opinions. It touches their attitudes, their relationships, their heartaches, their sins. And there is always opposition. The world, the flesh, and the devil are constantly arrayed against what the minister of the word is endeavouring to do. And Paul knew all about this, didn't he? The opposition from without and the opposition from within the church and from within his own heart. This was Paul's ministry. He laboured, he worked hard to preach and teach and bring the believers to spiritual maturity. But the text says he was also striving, whereunto I also labour, striving. This is an interesting word in the original. It's agonizomai, from which we get our English word agonize. And it's not a pleasant word, is it? It involves agony, pain, suffering. To agonize is to struggle. You're hurting. Your muscles are burning. You're bathed in sweat, but you keep going. The word originally meant to contend in the athletic games. This is the imagery. The men, and sorry, they were all men, no women, the men running and wrestling and boxing in the arena, training hard, competing hard, persevering, pushing through the pain barrier. Along these lines, we see the word used to refer to contending or fighting in the New Testament. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said to his young son in the faith, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Fight the good fight, Timothy. Agonizomai, same word. Timothy, you need to contend, you need to struggle, to wrestle. Holding to the faith, living out the faith, requires this. Paul struggled, he contended, he fought, he agonized to achieve his goal in ministry, to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He didn't just work hard at preaching, he wrestled with his own sin. He was disciplined when it came to the desires of his body, but I keep under my body, that is, I keep it under control, he said to the Corinthians, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul fought to put to death sin and selfishness in his own life, and he contended with the enemies of the gospel. He was keenly aware of the spiritual battle, and he wasn't passive. He made every effort to equip himself and fight back. That's what Ephesians chapter 6 is all about. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When we consider the first half of our text, we are left in no doubt that Paul's ministry involved work. It involved effort on his part. He applied himself in his personal walk with the Lord and in his public preaching and teaching. He worked hard, and so should we. There's much for us to apply in the verses that we've been through in our study thus far. There is no place for laziness in the Christian life. We are called to be disciplined. We are called to work, to make an effort, to fight the good fight of faith, to contend with our flesh. We are called to serve. But if we emphasize all of this without considering the second half of our text, then we've made a fatal mistake. We've landed in the realm of self-effort and self-dependence and moralism. We've landed awfully close to works righteousness and legalism. Yes, as Christians, we have to work, and we have to work hard, but we do so as Christ works in us. Look at our text. Whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working. The word his is a reference to Christ, to the one Paul preached. Paul laboured and strove according to Christ's working. The word translated working here is the word energia, and there's no prizes for guessing the English word that's derived from it. Energy. Paul labored according to, or we might say enabled by, the energy or the power of Christ, which, Paul went on to say, worketh in me mightily. The power of Christ is at work in me to a great extent. Christ is energizing me. I am working, laboring, striving to preach the gospel as he is working in me. Paul's hard work was not an expression of self-effort or self-dependence. It wasn't works righteousness. He wasn't trying to atone for his sins or win favor with God or merit eternal life. Rather, it was the expression or the outflow of Christ at work in his life. This energy was Christ strengthening him, Christ giving him wisdom, Christ encouraging him, Christ cleansing him from sin, Christ motivating him to persevere. Jesus gave Paul peace. Jesus gave him hope. Jesus gave him joy. Jesus gave him all the reasons he needed to keep going, to wrestle with the flesh, to struggle against sin, to press on preaching the good news. The outward man was perishing, Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but the inward man was being renewed day by day. This was Christ working mightily in him. And when we take into consideration the teaching of the New Testament, we know that Christ was at work in Paul through his Spirit by his word. This is why Paul called all believers to be filled with the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. For as we do, Christ is at work. His power is let loose in our life to enable us and to change us. The mediator, the God-man Jesus, is in heaven, seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for his people. And yet right now he is present with his people. He is in his people by his Spirit. And he works in them by his Spirit when his word is preached, when it is read, when it is meditated upon, when it is hidden in the heart and applied. Paul gave testimony to what we read here in Colossians chapter 1 verse 29 in at least two other places. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I died with Christ, yet I'm alive, but it's not me, it's not my old self, not what I was in Adam, rather it's Christ who gives me life, it's Christ who lives in me. I quoted earlier Paul's testimony in 1 Corinthians 15, and I deliberately stopped halfway through verse 10. Let me now give it to you in full. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. By the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, Paul says, but the grace of God which was with me. My hard work was merely the result of God's grace, God's kindness that was with me, that enabled me, that made it all possible. We are left in no doubt that Paul's ministry involved work. It involved effort on his part. He applied himself in his personal walk with the Lord and in his public preaching and teaching. He worked hard. And yet we are likewise left in no doubt that it was only because Christ was at work in his life. Paul had received grace. He rested in grace. That's why he worked. That's why he could work. There was no labour, no striving, apart from what God had graciously done for him and was doing in him. And beloved, this is something we all need to grasp. God's grace motivating and enabling our efforts. The two are not opposed, they come together in the Christian life. We work as he works. This is how we do ministry. This is how we make progress. This is how we grow. This is how we experience the blessings of our salvation. Please turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. We've looked at these verses before, but it's good to be reminded once again. This vital principle is laid out very clearly for us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul says to the Philippians, you've always obeyed in the past. You are obedient Christians. Keep obeying. Work, he says. Work out your salvation. In other words, outwork your salvation. Put your salvation into practice. This wonderful change in your standing before God, your justification, your regeneration, your adoption, these need to be lived out practically. The Apostle Peter put it this way, as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is the effort part. This is the hard work. It's inescapable. But then, Paul says, verse 14, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You work out as God works in. He is at work in you through his Spirit, by his word, making you willing and able to do that which he desires. Usually, in any group of believers, there are some who need reminding of what Paul says in the first half of our text, and there are those who need reminding of what Paul says in the second half of our text. We usually get off track in the Christian life in one of these two directions. And maybe this evening you need reminding that the Christian life involves work, hard work. There is labour, there is striving, effort is required. Maybe you need to pay attention to the quote that I've put at the top of the handout. It's from Dr. MacArthur's commentary on our text. No one can successfully serve Jesus Christ without working hard. Lazy pastors, Christian leaders, or laymen will never fulfill the ministry the Lord has called them to. We are called to discipline ourselves. We are called to struggle against sin. We are called to deny ourselves and follow Christ. We are called to prayer. We are called to serve him. There is work to do when it comes to our personal walk with the Lord and when it comes to his church and the advancement of his kingdom. And to put it bluntly, maybe you need a kick in the pants tonight. You need to stop being lazy and selfish and get with God's program. Get serious about what really matters in life. Maybe you need to stop nursing some hurt. You need to pull out that root of bitterness and get on with it. Time is short and eternity is long. Maybe the things of this world have distracted you. Your attention has been captivated by material things. There are things you want to do. There are earthly goals you're pursuing at the expense of your relationship with the Lord. Comfort, recreation, holidays, technology, good times. These have lulled you into a state of spiritual slumber and you need to snap out of it. You need to wake up to the spiritual reality and get to work. Maybe this is you. But then on the other hand, maybe you are working. You are striving. You are serving. You are making a great effort, but you're tired and frustrated. You're lacking motivation. You're lacking strength and joy. Your Christian life has been reduced to a hard, cheerless slog. You come to all the meetings. You help out at church where you can. You selflessly serve your family and your neighbours. You try to share the gospel with the lost. You endeavour to be disciplined, but truthfully, you're running on empty. It's not really working. Dear brother or sister, if this is where you're at, you need to remember that you work according to his working in you. You need to look to Christ. You need to drink deeply and daily of his grace. Your inner man can be and will be renewed if you seek fellowship with the Lord. Christ works through his Spirit. By his word, be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, and his power will be unleashed. He will be at work mightily in you. And you will find all of the meaning and the motivation and the encouragement and the wisdom and the strength and the joy that you need, and then some more. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. You can do all things, all the things you ought to do, all the things God calls you to do through Christ, who strengthens you. That's what Paul told us in Philippians 4:13. This is what we need to remember. There is no contradiction in God's plan for the Christian life. We would be remiss if we emphasized the grace of God at the expense of our responsibility, or if we pressed home the importance of our responsibility without grounding it firmly in the grace of God. There is work for us to do, and we do that work as he works in us. Amen.